The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back. Hope you're doing well. I hope you had a good weekend. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Quick thank you to Pastor Chris Connell from Cross Assembly here in Raleigh for filling in on Friday with a really compelling story, a testimony from a couple that was just amazing. It's an amazing story. I've heard it before. We did have some challenges on Facebook. Yay, Facebook, with sound, but hopefully we got that all figured out today. So here we are back in the studio. I was out of town for 3 days spending some time with my mother, who will, after 90 years, be meeting her Lord soon. So I just wanted to spend some time with her and my two sisters. Who one sister lives there full time, and the other sister has just been in town off and on for 6 months helping out. And so difficult circumstance. So if you just pray for them, I would appreciate it. So back in the saddle today and talking about this is really interesting because we're going to start seeing this change, this season change going on with respect to COVID and all things COVID as Omicron winds this thing down, which is exactly what's happening. This is typical over time if you study it, and I'm going to encourage you to listen to a couple of podcasts from the Joe Rogan Show. Which the first one set an all-time record for the most views and listens of any podcast ever. That was almost 50 million people listened or watched Joe Rogan's interview with Dr. McCullough on Spotify, which was back in December. And then, as if that wasn't enough, more recently, and I mentioned this and put the links up. I'll put the links up again on Facebook here in just a few minutes and on today's Facebook Live. His podcast, the more recent one with Dr. Malone, who's one of the people that came up with the technology behind mRNA vaccines, and that surpassed even the podcast with Dr. Peter McCullough, which is the one that got almost 50 million listens and views, and he passed that one, Joe Rogan passed that one with Dr. Malone, which is three hours. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to glaze over. Listening and watching, if you have the Spotify app on your phone, you'll actually see the video of the podcast there in Joe's studio in Texas. You'll actually see the video and not just listen to it. And I thought 3 hours and 6 minutes, there's no way I'm going to do this. And I did. I did it in three parts. So I take some breaks just for life and then finished up on the plane on Friday. And it was so eye-opening and so informative and so enraging. If you're not familiar with Joe Rogan, he's the biggest podcaster on the planet. Joe Rogan's got a history of a comedian. He's been really involved with the cage fighting and from a broadcaster's perspective, a very athletic guy. I think he did some of that MMA mixed martial arts fighting himself, but originally started, I think, as a comedian. But he's pretty much a centrist in many ways, left in some areas, right in other areas. But honest, he had COVID himself. Remember, this is when CNN was coming out saying Joe Rogan's taking horse medicine because ivermectin has a version that's for horses, as if people don't know any better. And it was just blast off on CNN time, as usual. But Joe Rogan, who does long format podcasts, hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, in this case, 3 hours, with Dr. Malone, McCullough's podcast. I'm trying to see how long that one was. McCullough, this was also back in December, 2 hours and 45 minutes, so just slightly shorter than his one with Dr. Malone. I'm going to be referencing those today's, and I'm going to put on today's show, and I'm going to put the links up there. Because as more and more information comes out, as COVID winds down, because Omicron is a blessing, these things tend to get weaker as they evolve, and that's what's happened. So Omicron's basically like the common cold for the vast majority of us, and that's all over the country, and vaccines don't stop it. So this thing's winding down. COVID-19 is going to be with us until Jesus ends everything with this particular version, this particular period in human history. And so eventually, and some people say within the next couple of months, it's just going to be a common cold. So what happens when you take the kids' toys away from them? When all the power goes, when the carrot and the stick goes, what happens? So this, and on the heels, not on the heels of, but in front of, coming up in November, I believe, and most commentators and analysts would agree, that this is going to be a shellacking of the Democrat Party in the midterm elections come November. So if and when that happens, and I believe it will, it certainly will in the House, hopefully it will in the Senate, but then it's going to be, we got to keep the heat on the Republican majority at that point and make sure they go into investigation mode. Fauci, the guy that retired Collins from the NIH, all these people, the CDC, and then, you know, hopefully they'd get involved with the pharmaceutical companies. This thing needs to be investigated until the sun stops setting in the West. And so as this stuff comes forward and they lose their carrot and their stick and more truths come out and more people are willing to speak the truth, and regardless of whether they get deplatformed or not, that's going to happen. So we have to keep pushing for the truth, because there's been so much damage done to children, to adults, to the economy, to all kinds of things. The lives of people, anxiety, depression, suicide, up one side and down the other. It's been one of the most harmful maneuvers by those in power in human history. And let's just hope and pray that the Republicans take up that mantle of truth when they get control starting in November, when they get sworn in next January. So here's an article. This was from The Federalist. I'm going to go through a bunch of different things today just to continue to make us all aware of what the truth is after all these months, now almost two years of this giant grift. And again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, COVID is real. There are COVID deaths that are real, but not all of them. Hit the pause button on that thought. We'll get to that. So this was in The Federalist. Media and the CDC quietly admit three COVID truths after 2 years of lies. Did they think we wouldn't notice? So this is by L. Reynolds for The Federalist. So I'm just going to take you through these. These are three, and then we've got other stories to back all this stuff up, because I want to make sure we're all dealing, playing from the same sheet of music. Over the weekend, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Rochelle Walensky appeared on numerous news shows and bluntly admitted some big truths that critics of COVID mania have been saying all along. Another admission of hers from August resurfaced on social media after months of the media memory-holing it. So just ignoring it, right? So here's the first one. Then we're going to hit a break and then we'll keep going. Number one, the vaccine doesn't prevent transmission. Quote, our vaccines are working exceptionally well, but what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission, Walensky told CNN's Wolf Blitzer in August, in a clip that made the rounds anew over this past weekend. We'll keep diving into that. So the vaccine doesn't prevent transmission, especially when we're talking about Omicron. COVID disproportionately affects the vulnerable. That's number two. And number three, deaths from versus deaths with COVID aren't the same thing, obviously. We'll be right back. Oh, angels sent from up above. You know you make my world light up. Now, look at that. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, just walking through some COVID truths that are coming out slowly but surely. And I think certainly by November, we're going to actually be dealing with a lot more truth than we've seen in the last 2 years. But just posted links to the two biggest podcasts in world history. Okay, the two biggest podcasts in world history by Joe Rogan, and one with Dr. Peter McCullough and the other one with Dr. Robert Malone. Peter McCullough's podcast with Joe is about 2 hours and 45 minutes. Now, hold on a second before you your eyes roll back in your head. And then the other one, Dr. Peter McCullough, who's a board certified cardiologist, which is about 2 hours and 45 minutes. And then the more recent one with Dr. Malone, who's one of the guys that's involved in the technology, invented the technology behind mRNA himself. He got vaccines himself. And the first one with Peter McCullough was viewed almost 50 million times. And the Dr. Malone, both of these were done in December, was viewed more than that. And these are the two biggest podcasts in the history of podcasting. And so I'm putting up links for that on Facebook right now. And then all of a sudden, me and a bunch of other people on Facebook Live are getting a reminder of our community standards. So, okay, that's funny. There you go. So I put those two podcasts. And I know what you're thinking, Steve. I can't do 2 hours and 45 minutes. I can't three. Think cumulatively. How much time do you think you've spent in the last almost 2 years now? It'll be 2 years in March. Listening to COVID stories, reading COVID stories, watching COVID stories, hearing it on the news, hearing it on talk radio. How much time do you think you've spent listening to COVID stuff in almost 2 years? It's way more than 2 hours and 45 minutes with the McCullough podcast with Joe Rogan and 3 hours and 6 minutes with the Joe Rogan podcast with Dr. Malone. So you can handle it. And this is the highest concentration of truth and revelation I've heard on this subject in all 2 years. And I've obviously been buried in it, too, because I do radio 5 days a week. So make sure, take the time. Break it up into two or three sessions, whatever. But you want your eyes open. You're going to get enraged, too. And then especially on Dr. Malone, I've said it before. I'll say it again. If anybody out there is vaccinating their kids, shame on you. That's a child as a lab rat in order to make yourself feel better like you're doing the right thing when you don't really know what you're doing. You're just going with the narrative. Oh, we got to vax the kids. We got to vax the kids. Where kids are more, we're have a better chance of dying by lightning strike, smoke inhalation, car accident, bicycle accident, pedestrian accident, things like that. You have a better chance of dying from that. But you're not changing your life for those things, are you? Don't put a brand new vaccine technology into children who statistically are at a 0% chance of dying from COVID, okay? We'll get into some of that. All right, here's these three truths. This was in the Federalist. The vaccine doesn't prevent transmission. Our vaccines are working exceptionally well, but what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. Walensky from the CDC said that all the way back in August, but that's not the narrative we've been inundated with for the past year. USA Today ran a fact check with the headline, "Vaccines protect against contracting spreading COVID-19 in November 2021," quoting health experts who insisted that getting the jab makes people much less likely to be infected, therefore much less likely to spread the virus. President Joe Biden went even further, claiming in July, "You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations." In October, he said, "We're making sure healthcare workers are vaccinated because if you seek care at a healthcare facility, you should have the certainty that the people providing that care are protected from COVID and cannot spread it to you." Even though now they're bringing COVID positive healthcare workers back into hospitals because they fired too many of them. He continued to parrot the claim just last month. Okay, so that's all ridiculous. Number two, COVID disproportionately affects the vulnerable. Listen to this. In a Good Morning America appearance, Walensky, the head of the CDC, admitted that the overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. Right. How about that? So I said this starting in March last year, or 2 years ago, that we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. And so you had somebody like Cuomo, who sends COVID-positive elderly back into the retirement homes, where they're like jihadists and they go back in and they infect others because those people are highly susceptible to the death brought by COVID. Those types of people. But 75% had at least four comorbidities. What are those, ma'am? Walensky, what are they? Because we've known for a while what they are. So why didn't you say, here's the real target audience. It's not all of us. 99.9% chance of survival for the vast majority of us. Let's do a targeted thing. Here's the people that really need to be worried. No. There's no power there. Kind of like there's no power in natural immunity. But it was Walensky herself who confessed last February that the CDC's guidelines for reopening schools were influenced by the vehemently anti-in-person learning teachers union. That's the problem in Chicago. And it was the coalition of power-hungry lockdown advocates and fawning media who put disgraced former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on a pedestal, despite his decision to force COVID-positive patients into nursing homes. This coalition also worked with the CDC to push months of lockdowns, business closures, mask mandates, travel restrictions, and now vaccine mandates on Americans, despite the fact that the average healthy American is at low risk of dying from COVID. But that's an inconvenient truth. Number three, deaths from and with COVID aren't the same thing. Okay, let me jump over to this story. It's in the Daily Wire. This occurred just on Sunday. Fox News anchor Brett Baer asked Walensky, same head of the CDC, about that during her appearance on Fox News Sunday. Do you know how many of the 836,000 deaths in the U.S. linked to COVID are from COVID? Or how many are with COVID, but they had other comorbidities? Do you have that breakdown? Baer asked. Walensky, yes. Of course, with Omicron, we're following that very carefully. That's not an answer. But gave no indication that those numbers were available for the totals prior to the recent Omicron-driven surge in infections. Quote, our death registry, of course, takes a few weeks to collect. And of course, Omicron has just been with us for a few weeks, but those data will be forthcoming. That sounds like Psaki. I'll come back around to you on that. Just over a week ago, Dr. Fauci conceded that officials might be overcounting the number of COVID cases, particularly with regard to pediatric cases in hospitals. He explained that because every child who was taken to the hospital received a test for COVID-19, even those who were asymptomatic but tested positive were listed as a COVID-19 case. Quote, If you look at the children who are hospitalized, many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. And what we mean by that, if a child goes to the hospital, they automatically get tested. And if they get counted as a COVID hospitalized individual because they came up positive, when in fact they may be in for a broken leg or appendicitis or something like that. Wow. Thanks, Pope Fauci. How about that? That's pretty amazing. Wow. Then there's Sotomayor. Did you catch this? This was so, I was enraged listening to this in the Supreme Court. It's disgusting. So Sotomayor, during oral arguments involving the Biden administration's mandate, quote, we have over, and she was so condescending and arrogant when she said it. We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators, she said. Hmm. Really? In some hospitals that we've talked to, sure you have, up to 40% of the patients who are coming in with COVID are coming in not because they're sick with COVID, but because they're coming in with something else and have to have COVID or an Omicron variant detected, she said. Oh, that was Walensky. But this was Sotomayor. We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators. So Rochelle Walensky was asked about that over the weekend. Speaking with Fox News Sunday, Walensky provided an update on the current numbers, confirming to host Brett Baer that there are fewer than 3,500 children in hospitals with COVID. See that? That's okay. Do you remember that we can actually impeach members of the federal judiciary? I think that's an impeachable offense. You have a justice on the United States Supreme Court flat out lying to the public about something that can be deadly, but she's flat out lying, which endangers the public. That's a big problem. 100,000 children? No, it's only less than 3,500. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Again, just reminding you, take the time. You will be incredibly enlightened, enraged, but hopefully that will help your prayer life. Just go listen to these two podcasts that Joe Rogan did, both in December. They're numbered, okay? All on Spotify. So I put links up on Facebook, on the Facebook live feed today, so you can find them there. Number 1747 in December with Dr. Peter McCullough, who's a board-certified cardiologist. That racked up almost 50 million people who watched it or viewed it. And then he surpassed that. These are the two biggest podcasts in the history of podcasting. Number 1757, also in December with Dr. Robert Malone. And he got that one got banned from YouTube and Google. Malone recently got thrown off Twitter, so Rogan left Twitter and went over to Gitter. And this is just, I mean, I was riveted the whole time. You would think 3 hours, you can't do it. Yes, you can. And they go down so many different roads that are so important. There's so much truth. And by the way, Dr. Malone is calm, brilliant. He has nothing to gain, all kinds of things that he's losing. He's totally committed, especially his number one issue is don't be jabbing your children. That's a nightmare. It's irresponsible. It's immoral. It's dangerous. You don't know what you're jabbing them with something that we don't have more for kids. We don't have more than a few months worth of data. That's crazy. Think Tuskegee Airmen. OK, don't turn your child into a Tuskegee Airman. Now, there are some kids, just like there's some adults, but very few children who actually have all kinds of comorbidities where you're like, OK, now you got to balance out the risks, most of which are unknown. But there's all kinds of stuff like myocarditis. And Dr. Malone talked about that with Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan has been in this deep for a while, kind of like our friend Steve Dace. So he's got all kinds of information. And the doctor, this guy, this brilliant guy, Dr. Malone, is just so brilliant. And he's so calm and self-controlled. He's obviously trustworthy when you're listening to him. He's not a whack job at all. And he's on so many boards. He's done so much stuff. I mean, the guy's absolutely unbelievable. But he's like, Joe, that's a brilliant question. It was like one thing after another. It was so helpful, but enraging all the time. All right, the Chicago teachers. This is going back to something else. Now the Chicago Teachers Union calls the mayor relentlessly stupid. The head of the Chicago Teachers Union is now calling Mayor Lori Lightfoot relentlessly stupid as hundreds of thousands of students are missing out on a fourth consecutive day of classes due to an ongoing dispute over coronavirus safety measures. So Omicron's ripping through the country, which it will continue to do, by the way. Everybody's going to get it for the most part. And so the president, the The president there, Jesse Sharkey, made the comment Monday morning, nearly a week after his rank and file voted to switch to remote learning. And so Chicago Public Schools is like, no, this doesn't work. I mean, kids have lost in the last year and a half, an average of about a year and a half grade value. It's a train wreck. And what it's doing to our kids in terms of suicide, depression, anxiety, these dominoes are going to be falling for years, if not decades. We completely just abused the tar out of the next generation for the last 22 months. And God will hold everybody accountable on that deal, by the way, sooner or later. So the teachers union coming out, no. It's our safety. We have to ensure our safety from a cold, basically, at this point. It's ridiculous. The mayor is being relentless, he said, but she's being relentlessly stupid. She's being relentlessly stubborn. We don't like bullies. We don't like tyrants, he said. We're not going to be bullied or pushed into a corner because they don't give a rip about the kids, ultimately. I'm sure some of them do, but the union in and of itself, no. It's about power and control. But listen to this. Here's Lightfoot. She criticized Chicago Teachers Union during an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press Sunday. Listen to this. Quote, fundamentally, what we cannot do is abandon the science. Ooh, follow the science. Good one, Lori. We know that the safest place for kids to be is in-person learning in schools, Lightfoot told host Chuck Todd. And we spent hundreds of millions of dollars to make our schools safe. They are safe. We've got the data to demonstrate that. We've got the teachers union. We've got to get the teachers union to get real and get serious about getting back into in-person learning. Thank you, Lori. It's probably the only time in my life I've said that. Follow the science. The kids are fine, and the kids' teachers are going to be fine. A few here and there. And if you have comorbidities, okay, then deal with it. But most of them, and kids aren't even good carriers. Ugh. This makes me crazy, doesn't it? So let's make sure we're praying for all this stuff. Pray over truth, wisdom, discernment. And pray for the November elections to go the right way, which I think they will. And investigation should be the name of the game for the next 2 years with a Republican-controlled Congress. Investigate all these people. It's criminal as the day is long. And especially what we've done to children. This was great in the Wall Street Journal. Omicron makes Biden's vaccine mandates obsolete. Both mandates were issued November 5th. At that time, the Delta variant represented almost all of U.S. COVID-19 cases. And both agencies, talking about HHS, Health and Human Services, and OSHA, appropriately considered Delta at length and in detail, finding that the vaccines remained effective against it. Those findings are now, obsolete. As of January 1st, Omicron represents more than 95% of U.S. COVID cases, according to estimates from the CDC. Because some of Omicron's 50 mutations are known to evade antibody protection, because more than 30 of those mutations are the spike protein used as an immunogen by the existing vaccines, and because there have been mass Omicron outbreaks in heavily vaccinated populations, scientists are highly uncertain the existing vaccines can stop it from spreading. As the CDC put it on December 20th, we don't know yet how well available vaccines and medications work against it. By the way, Dr. Malone makes the scientific case for the more you get vaxxed and then boosted, the more boosters you have, the less protection you have. Don't take my word for it. Go listen to the expert, okay? On the Joe Rogan podcast. One preprint study found that after 30 days of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, no longer had any statistically significant positive effect against Omicron. And after 90 days, their effect went negative, i.e., vaccinated people, get this, and Dr. Malone talks about it in that podcast, vaccinated people were more susceptible to Omicron infection. Confirming this negative efficacy finding, data from Denmark and the Canadian province of Ontario indicate that vaccinated people have higher rates of Omicron infection than unvaccinated people. Imagine that. Meantime, and it's long been known that vaccinated people with breakthrough infections are highly contagious, and preliminary data from all over the world indicate that this is true of Omicron as well. Yes, and Dr. Malone spoke to this too. As CDC Director Rochelle Walensky put it last summer, the viral load in the noses and throats of vaccinated people infected with Delta is indistinguishable from that of unvaccinated people. And what the vaccines can't do anymore is prevent transmission. That matters, doesn't it? There's some early evidence that boosters may reduce Omicron infections, but the effect appears to wane quickly, and we don't know if repeated boosters would be an effective response to the surge of Omicron. Dr. Malone in this Joe Rogan podcast makes it clear that it isn't. Actually, it can be worse. Omicron was mentioned sparsely at Friday's oral arguments. This is back to the Supreme Court. But the justices, particularly those most favorable to the mandates, appeared to labor under drastically false assumptions. Listen to this. Justin Stephen Breyer suggested that if mandatory vaccination went forward, that would prevent all new COVID infections. 750,000 new cases every day, he said. This is wildly false. I don't know if it's a flat out he's lying on purpose or if he's just that ignorant. Probably the latter. So is Justice Sonia Sotomayor's assertion that we have over 100,000 children in serious condition, many of them on ventilators. According to Health and Human Services Department, there are currently fewer than 3,500 confirmed pediatric COVID hospitalizations, and that includes patients who tested positive but were hospitalized for other reasons. Neither HHS nor OSHA ever considered Omicron or said a word about vaccine efficacy against it for the simple reason that it hadn't yet been discovered. In these circumstances, longstanding legal principles requires the justices to stay the mandates and send them back to the agencies for a fresh look. Imagine that. So, this is unfolding more and more, more truth all the time. Thank you, Lord. So let's keep praying for that, more and more truth to be revealed so that people can stop living in fear. I was on the plane coming back from Chattanooga yesterday. A lady sat down next to me in the middle seat. I was in the window. She had on gloves. Now, maybe she's got comorbidities, I don't know. But she had on gloves. She had on a mask. She had on a scarf over the mask. And then she used disinfectant wipes. She wiped the back of her seat. She wiped both armrests. She wiped the entire seat in front of her all the way around the seat back table. She lowered the table. She wiped the arms of the table, the top of the table, the bottom of the table, put all that back, switched her gloves. And then we flew, not a very long flight. From Atlanta back to Raleigh. And then when we landed, as we were, you know, pulling up to the gate and all that mess, she is double-checking all of her stuff. And then she literally puts a regular winter scarf, ties it tightly, around her face on top of the mask. Now, maybe she's got a bunch of comorbidities. Then I would understand. But most likely, she doesn't. And it's just completely in fear that she's going to die from COVID. And if it were the threat that we've been made to believe it is, I would understand that. But it isn't. Has it ruined some people's lives? Yes. Has it devastated some family operations and made life very difficult for a year or two for some people? Yes. God help them all. Absolutely. No doubt about it. But for the overwhelming majority of people in this country and around the world, it's been just like, originally, maybe to a certain extent, just not understanding. But people like Fauci have known from the get-go. And I think Francis Collins knew from the get-go. And I think the World Health Organization knew from the get-go. And all kinds of forces in the spirit of the age and the Great Reset crowd, this was a great opportunity to gain power and control, and they jumped on it. So the vast majority of people around the world have just kind of been hypnotized into this life of fear. And for the vast majority of people around the world, it's a lie. It's a lie. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. We'll come back with a Money Monday update right now. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So good to be with you. And we're going to turn the corner from all things COVID and jump back into a Money Monday update. I wanted to, for some of my friends on Facebook Live, I was just reading them an article by Eric Erickson. January 6th was Theology Thursday last week, so I wasn't sidelining a conversation with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary to talk theological things in order to talk about January 6th. So there's a great article. I was just sharing it with my friends on Facebook Live. So I'll put the link up on the Facebook Live feed at the Steve Noble Show page today. When we do that after we finish the show, but let's turn the corner and talk to our good friend, David Fisher, who's with us to do a little Money Monday update. Plenty going on out there. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm actually going to be talking for a moment about COVID, though. But good news. I got something really good about COVID. Some really good news coming up here in a moment.
All right, cool. That's good to hear. And I was sharing a little bit more truth coming out all the time, so praise the Lord for that. But on our Money Monday updates with David, we always start with a passage of Scripture. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament, I've taught on this one before, Ecclesiastes 3:11. Let's start there.
So the verse says, "He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so the man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end." This scripture comes after all the scriptures, verse 1 through 10, which talks about there's a time to give birth, a time to die, time to plant, time to reap, and so forth, time to mourn, time to dance. So obviously there's changes in our lives. There's changes happening in the economy, and everything, all these changes, the Lord says everything is appropriate. Sometimes we don't want those changes to come about, but it is appropriate, and it also sets our hearts towards eternity is really what it does, the scripture says. And, you know, God has destined us all. He wants all of us to be with him in eternity. Not all of us make that choice, but that's the heart of God. And, you know, as we see changes in 2022, my prayer is that the heart of man will change his heart towards the heart of God, those that do not know him.
Such a great point, and that's why we have to make sure we all work to keep the main thing the main thing. And I'm much more concerned about seeing Americans saved than seeing America saved itself. Of course, I care about the latter. But the former, seeing people saved and come to the knowledge of the Lord, is eternal, and this condition of the country is not. So we need to make sure we keep our priorities straight. So that's a great word. Thank you, as always, for that, David. So we're into 2022, and not that far in. It's January 10th. So last year was a pretty incredible ride for stocks. Will we see that in 2022, David?
Well, we saw in the last 3 years the S&P 500 double. It's only happened a couple times. The S&P, the NASDAQ is, and the S&P and the Dow, they're off to a really bad start. We've had in the S&P and the NASDAQ 6 consecutive days of it turning red. It's the worst start of the year since 2000 for the NASDAQ. It's all because the stock market is going through a transition right now. According to Jay Priscelli, who's a co-founder of Zega Financial, there's a big movement from investors ditching growth stocks for value trades. And this is all coming on the coattails of rising interest rates. Some are saying that it's going to get worse from here. I mean, if you look at since last Wednesday when the FOMC made their announcement, check this fact out. More than 38% of stocks trading on the NASDAQ are now down 50% or more from their 52-week high. So there's been a big sell-off, but you might not see it in everything. Some markets are really doing okay, although most are not. There's a guy by the name of Harry Dent. He's come out here a couple of days ago, last Thursday, day after the Fed met, and he said the biggest downturn is going to happen in our lifetime, probably in 2022, and he's calling for an 80 or 90% pullback.
Jeez.
He says the first one's going to be 40 to 55%. I'm paraphrasing his quote. You can find the quote, though, on Kitco News, and it's titled, U.S. Stock Market to Crash by 90% This Year. So he's not been right all the time, but he's been right a lot. So I hope he's not so right in this one.
Yeah, I hope he's wrong as well. Last week, we did a Full Money Monday with David and look back at the themes of last year and what was going on in 2021 and looking ahead into 2022. So we talked about those themes. Well, do you think, David, that they'll be the same as we push into the new year?
Well, I think they're going to be similar. The topics were U.S. government intervention and Fed printing money. Second one was inflation. Third one was market euphoria. And fourth one is COVID. I think the topics are going to be very similar. I think the pecking order is going to change, and I think the news behind it is going to change. As far as the government, Richard Cordray, the guy who was the chief honcho when the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was created, he was before Congress in 2010, asking the question if the government should run people's IRAs, and he says that's one thing that we're looking at. He, who said that, then is now one of a handful of the people that the president is assigning as the watchdog over the Federal Reserve in the banking environment. So we're not out of the woods. That's the first thing. As far as stock euphoria, Jamie Dimon says he beat Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs said there's going to be four rate hikes. Jamie Dimon said there's going to be more than four this year. The stock market doesn't like rate hikes.
Nope.
So we could see the stock euphoria kind of take a back seat as far as inflation. I think all the 13 years of debt printing, money printing, all that is now going to come to fruition, and we're going to have to deal with the flip side of managing our money. I think that's going to be the number one topic.
Yeah.
The good news about COVID, Omicron
yes.
might be the very last of COVID variant. And I got that from a very reliable source, one of my best friends who's the head of NATO doctor. And he said this before, about 4 months ago, and also a report that just came out amongst a whole bunch of researchers out of Africa saying this is the last of the last. And but because of Omicron, people aren't taking this thing serious. It's not necessarily life-threatening, but can be hospitalized-threatening. And people are shopping, dining out, traveling. So there's a lot of spending, so therefore it could be inflationary, just the variant itself.
Yeah, and I was talking about a bunch of different COVID things on the show before our segment now, David, and I'm thankful there's more and more truths coming out. I mentioned the two podcasts. These are now the two biggest podcasts in the history of podcasting, with Joe Rogan and Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone. And you got to take the time, invest the time, because the truth on these things is not easily ascertained. You have to go dig for it. Nobody's going to just hand it to you, and you have to spend time. So we can't just believe what we're being fed. But thank God on the Omicron part, because pretty much it's going to just ravage through the country. But it's for the most part, for most of us, it's just a cold, and COVID's losing its strength. And what the big question is, what are the powers that be? How are they going to handle this? They're going to be like a bunch of teenagers, and we just took their smartphones from them. So all of a sudden, they don't have the toy that they've been using as both the carrot and the stick. And it's going to be amazing to see how they handle it.
Hey, well, maybe the market might have to stand on its own 2 feet, and service and things getting done can't be blamed on COVID or anything like that. So I think we're going to get back to basics. I hope that's the case. What great news that Omicron might be the last major variant out there of all the variants. We might be done by this late spring or early summer this year.
And then it's just a regular cold, and I'm not going to get tested for a regular cold. Okay, so let's look at some reasons why you think gold and silver will perform well in 2022. And last year versus the stock market, they did what you would expect them to do. But this year, is that going to be different?
So, like I said last week, we're on the tail end of 1974. 1975 is really when gold started to make its move. Inflation is becoming really problematic. It's here. It's going to be worse. We're going to have negative interest rates. The CPI is 6.8% minus the Fed lending rate at 0.25%. That's 6.5%+. Real interest rates being negative, when we've had those, gold has averaged 21% a year. The Fed is going to continue, you know, printing money. They're not done with that. So they're going to still add more reasons to buy, invest in gold. But if you look at the cycles, 2015 and 2016, the Federal Reserve raised rates 9 times. Gold prices rallied 35%. From 2004 to 2005, they also raised rates 17 times, and gold prices rallied 70%. In the 1970s, from 1976 to 80, rates went from 4.35% to 20%, and gold went from 185 to 850. So if the Fed's going to raise rates, this is the time to be looking at investing in gold. And if you look at 1999, the peak of the S&P 500, that was the peak then, 1,469 points, and gold was 300. By 2012, the peak of the S&P actually fell 13%, and gold rose 500%. So there's a change coming, just like the Ecclesiastes is talking about. I think the change is here now. So diversify, learn about gold by calling our company. Here's the number, 844-604-2575. The number again, 844-604-2575. Don't put all your money in anything. Be diversified.
Yep, what a great word. David, thanks as always for calling in and for sharing with us today. We look forward to having you back on next Monday, my friend. Have a great week.
Sounds good, my friend.
All right, God bless you. We'll talk to you again soon. That was our good friend David Fisher, over 25 years now in that industry, and not just dealing with what he primarily focuses on, which is precious metals, but actually studying the market, studying the banking industry, and unfortunately for him, studying a lot of what the Fed's doing, which is infuriating. But don't worry, Jesus will come back, and one day this will all be a distant memory. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon, and like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.